Squeal and Pigs Manitoba is the organization that's been set up through a collaborative effort between Manitoba Pork and provincial and federal governments to control wild pigs in the province. It's an organization that is very collaborative in nature, and we take a very holistic approach to the wild pig program.
The Swinet Podcast Show Canada is only possible with the support and trust of innovative companies like
Vivo Vital from DSM Firmenich is an ultra-pure form of benzoic acid that, when used as a feed acidifier, enhances nutrient digestibility and optimizes post-weaning growth rates. Swine Veterinary Partners is comprised of four clinics across Canada that specialize in swine health, management, research, and development.
Welcome to the Swinet Podcast Show Canada. My name is Ruud Zijlstra, University of Alberta, and I welcome you to this podcast today. I have with me Dr. Wayne Lees, and first of all, Dr. Lees, I'll ask you to introduce yourself.
Oh, thank you very much. My name is Wayne Lees. I'm the coordinator for Squeal on Pigs Manitoba.
Well, thanks for joining us today. And to go right into the first question, what is Squeal on Pigs Manitoba?
Squeal on Pigs Manitoba is the organization that's been set up through a collaborative effort between Manitoba Pork and provincial and federal governments to control wild pigs in the province. It's an organization that is very collaborative in nature, and we take a very holistic approach to the wild pig program.
Could you perhaps provide a little bit more details about the organization? Is it like a non-for-profit or under an umbrella of another organization?
It's under the umbrella of the Manitoba Pork Council. So we're not regulatory, and we're not part of government. And that's actually a little bit different than most of the other organizations across the country that deal with wild pigs, because most of them are either run by provincial departments of agriculture or natural resources.
Of course, it's an issue here, wild pigs, in certainly here in Western Canada. So how did we actually end up with a wild pig problem?
Well, the problem started, the origins were back in the 1980s and 1990s when agriculture was going through a hard time back then. And as part of the diversification efforts, it was thought that we could try to raise Eurasian wild boar as a way for farmers to generate different income. It turned out that that wasn't terribly economic, and people lost interest. So some of these animals escaped, some were released. And it was originally thought that these animals wouldn't survive our winters, but being wild boar and being extremely hardy, they did, and they started to breed in the wild, which is why we really have a problem today.
Could you perhaps, in the interest of the audience, provide how harsh is a Manitoba winter?
Well, I like to say we go from plus 35 to minus 35 Celsius. So during the depths of winter, it's pretty tough, but these animals are extremely hardy. They have very thick hides. They have very deep hair coats, and they know how to survive, and they actually do survive the winters.
So then, relative to the problem, how do these wild pigs actually threaten? You know, the environment might be one component, animal health, pig, swine health might be a component, and human safety might be another component.
Right. I think of this as what I call a one health problem, which involves environmental health, animal health, and human health and safety. So those three components actually are impacted by wild pigs. For the environment, they actually do a lot of damage. They're not an indigenous animal, so they are an introduced species that are invasive, and they will really destroy native pastures. They like to forage in oak forests, so they'll eat acorns and things like that that other animals rely on. They've been known to disturb nests and eat eggs of ground nesting birds, small amphibians, any small animals that they can actually capture. So it becomes, they really do alter the landscape. And especially for the deer hunters, when the wild pigs move in, the deer move out. So there is a big impact on the natural ecosystem. In regards to animal health, these animals carry all the typical diseases that pigs could carry, but the biggest issue is that they could become a vector for things like African swine fever or foot and mouth or tuberculosis, pretty serious foreign animal diseases that would really impact the trade of pork products in the country. So there are a huge risk in terms of their ability then to roam around the countryside and to be a potential vector for these types of things. And finally, for human safety, if you go on YouTube and Google wild pig encounters, you'll see lots of pictures where wild pigs have actually attacked people or come pretty close, and they're not something to be messed with. They can become quite aggressive if they feel cornered.
Okay, just to follow up on some of your comments, relative to being a vector, of course, for Manitoba has a very important pork industry. How does the geography of where the pork industry is compare to the geography of where the wild pigs are roaming around?
So most of our wild pig problems, where we consider our hotspots, are in the Spruce Woods area of Manitoba, which is south and east of Brandon in the western part of the province. Most of our pig commercial industry is concentrated in the southeast corner of the province. So there's not a huge overlap between the wild pig concentration and the commercial farm concentration. But there is some overlap in that there are farms spread throughout the province. And this always becomes a threat just because the way pigs in the commercial industry move around from barn to barn and site to site. They can be a real threat to the commercial pig industry that way.
And would you say that over time, the geography of where the wild pigs are has spread and gets more and more closer to where the pig industry is?
I would say that we capture public sightings of wild pigs. So we have a pretty active media campaign. And you can go to our website and see a map of the places that have been reported with wild pigs. So if you go to www.squealonpigsmb.org, we publish an updated map every 3 months, 3 to 4 months, of the sightings that we've seen in the last year. So we kind of keep track of a rolling picture then of the wild pig locations. So the pigs that we're most concerned about are Eurasian wild boar, but we also include escaped domestic pigs that in our definition of what a wild pig is.
Okay. And then relative to issues regarding human safety, I presume that we need to watch most for the boars. Could you describe how aggressive they can be and distance we need to keep?
Well, I would say if you see one, don't approach it. I think that goes without saying. These boars can have, 4 to 5 inch tusks that are razor sharp. So they can be pretty aggressive. And I've heard stories of boars, charging people who've tried to hunt them and that sort of thing. The sows, too, though, could be quite aggressive if they think their piglets are being threatened. So best to stay away.
Okay, thank you. So how would you compare the a wild pig problem in Canada with other countries?
Well, when we first started this project back in early 2022, we were relying a lot on information from the U.S. And as we've gained more experience with wild pig situation, we recognize that our situation in Manitoba is very, very different from that in the U.S. The U.S. talks about, you know, very large numbers of wild pigs on farms. And I was listening to one podcast that said one landowner had 1,200 pigs on his farm. And I thought, I don't know if we have 1,200 pigs in the province. So I think the scale is much, much different. And that probably relates a lot to the fact that the pigs in the U.S. don't have to contend with the harsh weather that we do. Perhaps their food supply is not as limited. So the lessons that we can learn from other countries, I think, have to be adapted to our context. We don't have the same type of problem that they have in the U.S. We don't have the same type of problem that they have in Australia or Asia or even in Europe, where Eurasian wild boar are obviously indigenous. So I think we need to modify some of the assumptions and recommendations from those other jurisdictions and then make them fit our situation.
Yeah, but regardless of the difference in size of population between the states and Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta, the damage on cropping land and on the ecosystem can be very similar. Or is the scale also different?
I think there's a difference in scale. If you talk about crop damage, it relatively minor problem, I think, in terms of the actual total loss for crop damage in Canada. But the what I look at is the potential threat as a vector and as a free roaming vector of disease. And the potential threat of alteration to the ecosystem for endangered species of animals that we have here. So I think if you tried to measure it strictly on damage to crop, I think you would underestimate the problem significantly.
So then what steps are being taken by Squeals on Pigs Manitoba to control wild pigs?
We have a fairly extensive follow-up. So once somebody reports a sighting to us, either on that website that I mentioned, www.squealonpigsmb.org, or through our toll-free phone line, which is 833-SPOT-PIG. Then our field manager follows up with the person who reported and we'll gather as much information as we can. Then we usually go out to the site in person and talk to all the landowners in that area to find out if they've actually seen pigs or signs of pigs. If that turns out suspicious, then we will set out bait and try to attract the pigs to a particular spot. And we'll have a trail camera there that we can monitor through our cell phone. And if pigs start coming, then we'll initiate the trapping process. So it's a bit of an extended process that gets initiated through a phone call or a report on our website.
Could you perhaps describe the trapping process? Like, have you started with trapping already? And what kind of level of success do you have? And pigs are pretty smart. So are they learning how to work around these traps? Perhaps provide some insights.
I think we have to get into the mind of wild pigs in order to trap them. And these pigs move about in a range, so they tend to travel. They may visit one area and then not return to it for a week. So that's part of the issue. But the way that we do it is we set out a bait first with, as I say, a cell camera, and then we'll set up the trap itself, which are either sort of like steel corral panels or a net trap that can drop down. And you have to acclimatize the pigs to going in and out. And then once they start going in and out, then you can set the trap so that the gate drops or the net drops. And we try to capture the whole sounder, the whole group of pigs. We found that our capture success for trapping is much, much higher than the success through hunting. A lot of people think, well, we'll just hire a bunch of hunters and go out. The issue that we found, and we're starting to gather some statistics on this, is that if hunters go out and say there's a group of 11 pigs, they'll get one or two. And then all they've done is educate the rest of them. And so whereas when we go out and trap them, we typically get upwards of 80, 90, 100% of the group. And it doesn't scare off the rest of them, so that the rest of them, if they didn't go into the trap, can come back. And so it's a much, much more effective process. And it doesn't tend to scatter the pigs out over an even wider home range.
And then could you perhaps provide some insight? You used the word sounder, which is like a group of pigs in the language of the wild pig community. Like how many pigs would be together in a sounder, and what would be the makeup? Like how many boars, sows, and offspring would there be together?
Mm-hmm. Again, we have to understand how these pigs behave. So I'll start with the big mature boars. They tend to be loners, and they tend to do a lot of traveling. So they'll go from sounder to sounder or group to group, looking for girlfriends. So the boars tend to be more mobile, and they tend to be more single. The sounder typically is made up of generally a small number of pigs. So you can have a group of juveniles that maybe, you know, had been weaned and now have left the maternal group. And so you may end up with a small group of anywhere from 5 to 10 of those. And they'll tend to stick together for a while. And then the maternal sows with their piglets, you'll end up typically with 2 to 3 to 6 maternal sows, usually not a huge number, plus all their associated piglets. So when these pigs come to a trapping site, generally speaking, the piglets go in first, and they'll eat, and then the sows will go in and eat, and finally the juveniles will go in, and the last to go in are the boars. So they tend to be much, much more wary. So you may not get the whole group in one go, but if you catch a group and then remove them and then reset the trap, quite often you'll get the remainder the next time or two.
Okay. And then what is known about population spreading? So you mentioned, you know, the piglets deal with the sow, then you have the juveniles that I presume are completely weaned but still part of the group. Do the juveniles then at a certain stage of life separate from the sounder and start a new sounder, or how does that work?
Well, we're not really sure exactly. That's what I think, just based on what our observations have been. We really do need to understand more about both the demographics of wild pigs and their behavior patterns. And that's really where field experience comes in, because it's not things that you can necessarily learn from a book. You can use your knowledge of commercial pigs to some degree, but these are wild animals. And so you have to modify your assumptions from commercial pigs and apply the specific things that you need to know about wild pigs in order to trap them effectively.
Thank you. So then, relative to Squeals on Pig Manitoba or other organizations in Manitoba, what applied research projects are being conducted, and are there any plans for the future?
So we have a number of things that we're trying to do. Just to start off with, I think our biggest issue is finding the pigs. That's by far the most difficult thing that we encounter. And so I learned a couple of things from that. One is that we probably don't have huge numbers of pigs in the province because they are so hard to find. The other thing is that we've started to use some advanced technology like thermal imaging drones and flyover surveys to try to get a handle on where the pigs are and what kind of population densities they would have. And the other thing that we're trying to incorporate are things like testing water for pig DNA. If you think about it, if you only rely on public reports, the pigs and the people have to be at the same place at the same time in order for you to have a report. If there are not many pigs or there are not many people, you won't get many reports. And so we're trying to test water samples from areas that are a bit more remote to see if we can pick up pig DNA. So this would be an added tool in our toolbox, and we're in the process of validating that testing procedure right now. So it's an area that I think we need to explore. In terms of the other things that I think we need to know is we need to validate in the field some techniques just for simple measurements like weight. I know in commercial pigs, heart girth is a well-studied measurement, but the morphology of these Eurasian wild boar is different. And so we need to validate the fact that, can we get accurate weight measurements by using either longitudinal measurements or heart girth or something else? And finally, how do we age pigs in the wild? Because we'd like to understand when they actually first start breeding. And we want to know, what is their litter size really? We think it's probably, less than half of what a commercial pig would produce. Not to say there couldn't be exceptions, but in the commercial industry, you want, up to 2 litters a year. I'm not convinced that happens in wild boar.
So then relative to looking for wild pigs in their environment, do you think there would be a difference in the ability to find them depending on the outside temperature? Like I can imagine that when it's cold, it's easier to find them using infrared imaging, perhaps, as compared to in the summer. Have you any experience with that?
Yeah, our biggest trapping season is in the fall and winter months and early spring. Simply because that's when the food's sources become more limited and you can attract them to a baiting site. As you mentioned, thermal imaging works better when there's not leaves on the trees and there's a bigger differential between the body heat of a pig and the rest of the environment. But it's been interesting this year that we've actually been very active over the summer in capturing pigs as well. So I think it's a combination of the public outreach campaign has made people aware, and we're probably better understanding where the hotspot of pig reproduction is.
If that anyhow related to unique parts of geography in Manitoba, like hilly or forested areas, or what would be reasons for that? They may need a water source, of course.
Yeah, pigs like water. They tend to like a parkland setting where there's agriculture and forest kind of come close together. That gives them shelter and a food supply. So we find that where those settings come together is that's where the pigs prefer to be.
So then if you would put on your hat and forecast a little bit, what would for you determine success of the research that you're involved with? Like, say 2 years from now, where would you like to be with the projects that you have ongoing?
Well, I'd like to understand, as I say, a little bit more about pig behavior so that we can implement better trapping methods. I would really like to understand their reproductive abilities, because some of the information that we've got from the U.S., they say you have to remove 70% of the population every year just to stay in the same place. I'm beginning to question that, because if our pigs are not reproducing at nearly the rate that they are in the U.S., then I think our control and eradication programs can be much, much more successful. So I'm thinking that we'd like to first control the population and eventually eradicate them from the province.
It's time for our famous three.
Well, thank you for the answers that you provided. I have one final one. What is your favorite resource for people to look at this topic? Is there anything online? Is there you mentioned one website, of course, your own. Are there other sites or bits of information that people could look at?
Well, if you Google wild pigs, you'll find all kinds of things. And I would say everybody has an opinion. Some of the opinions are perhaps a little bit more informed than others. But that's probably the way that most people will get their information on this topic, because it is a relatively new topic. There aren't lots of textbooks on this issue.
Thank you very much for the discussion today. That concludes another episode of the Swine It podcast show in Canada. Again, this is Ruud Zijlstra, and I'm signing off. Thank you.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.